Ohio approved and licensed for disposal. At Ron Evans Enterprises, they specialize in sewage system installation and repair. Ron Evans has a full line of flex pipe, culverts, concrete and plastic septic tanks, sewer fittings, waterline rolls for the Home American water heaters, along with toilets, standard and ADA. It's all at Ron Evans Enterprise, LLC. Give them a call today at 1-800-537-9528 or 740-286-5930.
Would you like to work closer to home, save money on gas, and be rewarded for your hard work and attendance? Then Bellisio Foods is looking for you. That's right. Bellisio Foods is now hiring for multiple positions and shifts with great employee benefits, an on-site health clinic, competitive wages, and advancement opportunities. Bellisio Foods is a company that truly values their employees. Apply online at BelisioFoods.com/careers.
Everyone, happy Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
And it is going to be a wild one.
It's supposed to be, Jen. Supposed to be a wild one today.
Woo! And what we're talking about, not, you know, like anything too crazy other than, you know, the weather and the crazy storms that may or may not cross our area.
That is right. So if you're just waking up, we're going to go through some closures. We got some closures potential
not snow
snow, but because of the potential for severe weather, Jen. So it was late last night. I was up tracking it all and writing about it till about 11:30 last night.
It's kind of wild to even think that, like, you know, you hear of snow and closures, right? Like, that's understandable,
right? I can't recall a time, me and Pete was talking about this morning, I can't recall a time when they closed ahead of like a severe thunderstorm,
right?
You know, maybe like a snowstorm that was being, you know, forecasted. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, but so we're gonna go over the school closures for those just waking up. But for those that probably have kids, priority are aware and know that all the local school districts are closed today, and we can go through those. It was a little after 10 o'clock last night when all of the school districts started announcing that they would be closed today.
Okay.
So the first was Wellston City Schools, then followed by Buckeye Hills Career Center, then the Oak Hill Union Local Schools, and then lastly, Christian Life Academy. And they had all announced that they would be closed today due to the potential of severe weather slated for today, Tuesday, April 2nd. And you didn't hear me say Jackson City Schools or Vinton County Local Schools, and that's because they're still on spring break.
So I think that was a little bit of confusion, because some of the schools actually are still on spring break.
Right.
And then some actually closed due to the weather.
Yeah. So I checked their calendars, and Jackson City Schools and Vinton County Local Schools, today is their final day of their spring break. So
yeah, got a little surprised by that. It was kind of funny at the tap room yesterday, because we had quite a busy lunch, and I was like, what is going on? And then people were like, well, we're out of school today. And I was like, oh, I assumed that spring break, you know, was the prior week, and then everybody would.
Yeah, they got a couple extra days, it seems like. Yeah.
I mean, more than welcome to come in. So happy to have you and to see people, but I was just taken off guard a little bit.
Right. So, Hayden, if you can throw that first weather graphic up, we can talk about the. So this is out of the National Weather Service, severe outlook for today, Tuesday, April 2nd. They're looking, so this is for this afternoon and evening, and
what do they consider afternoon and evening?
I'm gonna we'll
shut up.
Yeah, we'll get to that here. So they are forecasting a significant severe weather events expected today across our region, and this is this particular map is from the National Weather Service out of Wilmington. And for our coverage area, it's out of Charleston, West Virginia, which I have a graphic for them too, but you don't have to put it up. You can leave this one up. I went with this one because it has the outline of the counties. The one that Charleston put out did not. So you can see Jackson County there next to Ross County, where Chillicothe is there on the map. Yes. You can see where, along with Vinton County, which is our coverage area here for the Telegram, is in that shade level 4, which is moderate for severe weather for today.
Okay.
And they said today is a severe weather risk day for the region, and it includes the potential for tornadoes, damaging wind, large hail, and flash flooding.
Well, you know what? It can go somewhere else, as far as I'm concerned.
Let's hope that the storms, when they come through...
Sounds like a good place, or Cleveland, or somewhere.
Let's hope they just break apart and yeah. everybody is spared, because, you know, we had that...
Michigan, maybe, I don't know.
We had that that tornado up north, the EF3 that hit just a few weeks ago, and they're shaded again. I don't think they need to get hit again today. But they're saying multiple rounds of thunderstorms will occur today and tonight. It says a widespread severe weather outlook is likely this afternoon and evening with, like I said, the damaging winds, large hail, flash flooding, and tornadoes possible. And it says there's also the potential for long track intense tornadoes, especially over the Mid-Ohio Valley. And this is the important part. The most likely time frame for the severe weather to occur is between 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. And the stuff that I'm reading, a lot of that is on the graphic here for people that are watching on the TV this morning.
Yeah.
And the National Weather Service says the public should have multiple ways to get their weather warnings. Make sure you have your... A lot of the smartphones now have alerts that just come through automatically when there's warnings for certain things. You can go into your settings and check and make sure those are turned on. When I looked on mine, it's like government alerts. And under there, it has like for weather and amber alerts and that kind of stuff. And there's also like wireless emergency alerts. I don't know if that's on maybe Android. I didn't see that as an option under there. Yeah, but you can turn them on under your smartphone. And I guess it uses like your location to ping through. That's, you know, like when our phone goes off, it's like...
Yeah, like an amber alert, but yeah, something else.
It'll do that for like certain warnings and stuff too for weather.
I actually got... I thought this was really weird. I got like this like alert this morning from AEP.
Okay.
It was just like severe weather in the area.
Letting you know.
Our crews will be out.
Very
like,
good.
Please
yeah.
look out for them. But they're working, and I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that too. And they said that make sure you have some kind of weather app downloaded on your phone. You can also download the FEMA or Red Cross app, and they have post notifications that you can turn on. I downloaded both of those last night because I didn't have them.
Yeah.
And you can get on there and you can put in your zip code and stuff, and it'll show like current watches or warnings for your area.
That's actually very handy.
Yeah. And you can, there's other stuff
you need
to do through those apps. And they also say in case of cell network issues, you know, turn into your local TV stations or radio stations. Our radio stations here at Total Media
yes.
are 96.7 FM, 97.7 FM, and 98.7 FM. And then you also have that the NORAD weather radio.
Yes.
That you can utilize to get those weather alerts as well.
The other thing I would recommend, and you can't do it now, it's probably a little too late, unless they have them here locally. Maybe they do it like Wally World or whatever. But, you know, they make little TV antennas now. It used to be you had to put a great big antenna on top of your, you know, roof and all that. They make these little square plastic things now that you can just hook to the back of your TV. And pretty much anywhere in our viewing area, you can hook one of those on and at least get your local, like your WSACs.
Right.
And whatever, even if your cable goes out, you know, your internet goes
right.
out or your phones go out or whatever, you still have that access to a TV channel that way.
Yeah. And
that's
those,
always just a handy backup to have. And they're literally like under $30.
Right. I have one of those somewhere. I probably should have dug it out. But
yeah, I have one in the back of my car right now.
They work. You can scan with it. And
yeah.
it does. I got several channels with the one that I got.
You can get HD channels if you're in, you know,
yeah.
on a hill or whatever.
Yeah. So. I used to use it quite a bit before because we didn't have internet at the house when
yeah.
we first moved in.
Yep.
And then later we found out that, you know, Spectrum is out that way. So we was able to get Spectrum internet at the house. And it didn't cost, you know, terribly too much. And so now we stream a lot. And that's how, you know, WSAZ has an app, and that's where I like to watch my news and stuff.
But. Right. But so, yeah, that's just a handy thing to have as a backup if you you know, lose your internet or cable or whatever.
Right. And the National Weather Service reminds everyone the saying today is stay weather aware.
Okay.
And
open your eyes, people.
Yeah. They say know where your safe place is if severe weather threatens, and also have a plan for what to do if a tornado warning is issued. And Hayden's put a little graphic up that I got from one of the National Weather Services that talks about, you know, if there is a tornado on the ground in our area, know where to go, when to shelter from a tornado. And it's the old thing that they always say, you know, if you have a basement, you know, go to the basement. If you don't have a basement, you want to go to the most inside interior room of your house that doesn't have any windows. That's where you'll want to go. So in my house, that would be, you know, we have a little bathroom. That would be where I would go in my house, because that's the most inside.
Yeah, same. Or our hallway that leads to, yeah.
Yeah. So this graphic kind of explains, it says, you know, top floor rooms do not protect you. Exterior rooms and rooms with windows do not protect you. And you want to be, it says, if you have no basement, move to an interior room with no windows. And as I said before, you can also, if you have a basement, go to your basement, bring your emergency supply kit.
Okay.
And they say no place outside is safe from a tornado. So I guess outside, just try to find a low-lying area. I don't know.
Don't think you're going to lay in a ditch. And that's, I mean, I guess that's safer than standing up, but.
Yeah. So I did print off.
Be aware of what's happening
right
around you.
Right.
Just in case.
You know, it's been an unusual spring with the tornadoes. You know, we had some in February, and then we had, you know, the big one up in India Lake, and there was a bunch more in addition to that.
One of my staff members was telling me that one of her relatives, their farm is gone.
Yeah,
like, got completely wiped out, and that is so sad.
It is sad.
It's there one minute and gone the next, and there's nothing you can do about it.
And that's Mother Nature.
How small we are on this planet, by the way.
Right.
It's very humbling.
And I printed this off we can discuss real quick too before I get into some other news. It's seven things you should never forget when tornadoes strike.
Okay.
And I just wanted to go down through them real quick. It says, number one, figure out a safe place to ride out the storm. So we just kind of discussed that on that little graphic there. Number two, get away from the windows and get underground if possible. Number three, if a tornado appears while you're on the road. So here's this. It says, you should make an effort to find a safe building for shelter. If you can't find one, never hide under an overpass. Instead, find a ditch. Get down and cover your head. Get as far from your vehicle as you can to prevent it from being blown.
So they're saying get out of your vehicle.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's what it says. And get down into a ditch or a low-lying area. This is from weather.com. It says, make sure you put on shoes. Which this says number four, put on shoes and a helmet. But I don't know. Do you have a helmet ready?
Hayden, how many helmets do you have in your house?
Yeah, I don't have any helmets in my house, but that's what number four says. It says if you're home and a severe weather is bearing down, prepare for the worst. It says if your house is damaged by a tornado, you could end up walking through debris, glass, splintered wood, etc.
Put on your combat boots.
Yeah. So it says keep your pets on a leash or carrier, bring them with you.
Actually, that's a good idea, because
don't forget about your pets.
Freaked out.
Yeah.
And take off, and then
who knows?
Yeah. You need them tethered to you.
Number six, don't leave your home and try to drive away from a tornado. So if it's a tornado, don't get your car and try to outrun it, I guess, is what this says. And then number seven, know your severe weather terms, which we've talked about this before. A tornado watch means conditions are favorable for the development of severe thunderstorms and multiple tornadoes in or around the watch area. People in the affected area are encouraged to be vigilant in preparation for severe weather. Now, a tornado warning means spotters have sighted a tornado or one has been indicated on radar and is occurring in the warned area. When a tornado warning has been issued, people in the affected area are strongly encouraged to take cover immediately.
Okay.
So just remember, if later today I post something, you know, about a tornado watch, just know that conditions are favorable. It doesn't mean one's on the ground right now.
Warning is...
warning means...
there's one. It's somewhere.
Yes, it's somewhere. So that's a little bit about that. I will mention, because I said in my story, the Telegram will publish any weather-related watches and or warnings online at thetelegramnews.com, which also goes to our social media platforms, so you can watch for those as well. And, you know, all of our radio stations, I think... automatically get those warnings and alerts, so you'll hear the, you know, that
the National Weather Service thing. Yeah,
those will come across our local stations, so you can listen for that today. And right now we are under we do have one watch, and it's a flood watch until 10 o'clock tonight. And they're just putting that out there because there's the possibility for flash flooding to happen because of the excess of rainfall that's supposed to happen. So we're supposed to have some rain, I guess, this morning, and then the most significant stuff supposed to happen this afternoon if everything holds together like they are predicting.
And here's the deal, you know, I don't know if you have some tips on flooding, but that's a whole separate issue. How many times do you hear of people trying to walk through
or drive through the water? The old saying is turn around, Don't drown.
Like, and it is significant. I mean, people don't understand. They take running water for granted. I mean, it is so powerful.
It is. And it doesn't take much to pick your vehicle up and sweep you downstream.
Absolutely.
And if you live somewhere near, you know, a lot of people that, you know, live near creeks and stuff like that are usually aware and pay attention. You know,
do not drive through it,
and, you know, seek higher ground if, you know, a flooding event is happening. But I guess excessive runoff may result in flooding of rivers, creeks, streams, and low-lying areas today. So we're under a watch through 10 o'clock tonight, which that watch could ultimately become a warning later in the day.
Okay.
So just be aware of that. So we're going to move away from all the weather and talk about some news that happened over the weekend, Jen.
Okay.
I had my hands full Friday and Saturday nights. As
yeah,
it was Easter weekend, and you know what happens? Yeah, you know what happens every Easter weekend, Jen.
I do.
Jackson Apple Festival royalty come to town. So, on Friday night, we had a total of 43 young ladies compete to be named one of the 10 finalists in line to become the 2024 Little Miss Apple Festival later this year. So they had 43 compete. They got narrowed down to a top 10. There's your top 10 on the screen for those that are watching on Main Street TV's morning show here on Facebook and YouTube. And so this contest was held on Friday evening, March 29th at the Jackson Middle School Auditorium. The evening began with a welcome and an introduction. And this year's MC was Katie Jones. Katie Jones was back this year. Last year, she was not the MC. They had two different MCs last year.
Okay.
I think her daughter tried out last year, so she stepped away so that her daughter could
compete.
That
might be a little conflict of interest.
So she was back this year, and she always runs it real smooth and gets the girls through and gets all the questioning done. And
that's a tough job, by the way.
It is. She, you know, she conducted the contestant interviews, and then the 2023 Jackson Apple Festival Little Miss, it's Hadley Scarberry. Later in the contest, she conducted and asked, I thought this was a tough final question, Jen.
Okay.
For young little girls, I thought.
Yeah.
The question was, what do you love about yourself and why?
Whoa.
I thought that was pretty deep.
That's a hard
for
question.
4, 5, 6, 7 year olds. Yeah.
To answer.
And, you know, some of them understood the question and answered good. And some, I don't think, quite understood the question and kind of veered off a little bit.
Yeah.
But there were some that did understand it. And, you know, I don't remember if the little girl, one of them's in the top 10 or not, but I remember one of them said, you know, she asked the question, and she said, you know, what do you love about yourself? And the one of them was like, I love my body, is what she said. And another one, you know, said they love their hair. And there was one that said they loved their heart. Aww. And so you never know what the little girls are going to say. It's always interesting to watch during the contest. But
you know, like, I think about being an adult and being put on the spot like that. And those little girls go up there at like 5, 6, 7, 8 years old.
There was a couple 4-year-olds even.
That is insane to me that they can get up there and speak like that.
It is. And so, you know, they went through that whole contest period, and then they go through and they announce the those final 10, and I have them here. I don't know if I, you know how I am with names, Jen. So
you like me to do it?
I did not review these like I usually do, and I'm gonna try to go through them here because they're not too bad. So we'll try to go through. So earning a spot in the top 10. I'll hand you the sheet if I need help. How about that?
Okay.
There was Aris Wyckoff, Aubrey Rose, Emma Dunn, and this. Well, I probably should read based on the. So he put the picture back up here. So I'll go in order per the picture. So in the front row there, you have finalists. That's Dim Wheatley, Blakely Morrow, Olivia Eberts, Emma Dunn, and there on the far end with her hand on the hip, that's your 2023 Little Miss Applefelt.
Sassy.
That's Hadley Scarberry.
She's so cute.
And then on the back there, you have Aubrey Rose, Berlin Trent, and then you have, I believe, twins here, Morgan Murphy and Madison Murphy there in the center.
I wondered if they were twins.
I think they are. I mean, they're the same age and same last name, same parents.
Okay.
So I said they're obviously sisters, but I think they're twins.
That's funny.
And then Aris Wyckoff, and then Charlene Ray.
Charlie.
Yep. So Charlie.
Charlie
Ray. There on the end. So that is your top 10. Those little girls will move on to the top 10 contest. That'll take place at the Jackson Apple Festival. That'll be on Saturday, September 21st. And the festival is always held the third full week in September. So they always do that. They'll crown that Little Miss on that Saturday, and then her reign will be from then through Saturday of next year's festival.
It's a little bit different.
So then Saturday night, we had the older girls, or as Pete likes to say, the big girls. And
I don't know, 25 years of this and I still haven't figured out what to call them. So
the high school aged royalty.
There we go.
How about that? So here is he put a picture up. That is they go ahead and crown following the contest here. And since he's got the picture up, I'll go ahead and go through it. Your 2024 Jackson Apple Festival Queen and Court members. You have their first attendant, Macy Swan, Queen Isabella Lungsford, and second attendant, Alexia Butcher. And the two, the Queen is from Oak Hill High School. The first attendant is from Oak Hill High School. And
really?
The second attendant is from Jackson High School. So they had, you know, that contest was held on Saturday evening, March 30th at Jackson Middle School Auditorium. They had 12 young ladies this year compete for the title of the Queen, but in the end, only one could be chosen, and that was Miss Lungsford there. And Victoria Leonard was this year's MC. She is a former royalty herself. Yeah, she was a queen. I can't remember the year, but I remember covering it.
A few years ago.
A few years ago. She was from Oak Hill as well. Victoria was.
Yes.
And she introduced your outgoing royalty. That was Queen Abigail Plants, first attendant Kylie Duncan, and second attendant Deanna Houston. Uh-huh. And so they have had their day in the sun, and they got to hang their crowns up Saturday night, and they did their farewell speeches Saturday night. Last couple of years, it's been a little different from when I first started covering this, Jen. They used to stand there and they would read farewell speeches. Now it's all pre-recorded.
Oh, okay.
And they play it over the loudspeakers.
Yeah.
And they kind of do their little pageant walk back and forth on the stage, family comes up, gives the royalty flowers and hugs, and
that's
some of the members
best, of, because a lot of times it's a very
it's hard to make
thing.
It hard and, to make it through. Yeah,
if they can pre-record it, it makes it a lot easier.
So yeah, that's the way they do it now. There's several other ones that do that across the county now too, I think. And but that was the rundown of your queen and court for this year, and I did go up to them afterwards, and I don't know, do you have a video clip, Hayden, of the girls or no? No. I had gone up to the girls after the contest and I had a real quick little interview with them, and we'll see if he can find that. It was on the, should be on the Telegram Facebook page. You'll see the three girls. It's not very long, so it should quickly download. But the 83rd annual Jackson Apple Festival dates are Tuesday through Saturday, September 17th through the 21st. Okay. And while he's getting that video that I wanted to share with what they said about being crowned and everything, I can talk. Some other important announcements were made. So on Friday night, they announced that the 2024 Jackson Apple Festival Grand Marshal, and that is going to be Jackson attorney and Jackson area resident William Bill Cole.
Okay.
He got the honor this year. Cole has been practicing attorney in Jackson County for 46 years, and he is currently a senior partner in the Jackson-based law firm Cole Kirby and Associates. His firm provides a wide range of legal services that cover a 10-county area. And he has been active in the community and was recently honored for his 39 years of leadership and service to the Jackson Area Chamber of Commerce. That happened earlier this year in January with the James A. Rhodes Leadership and Service Award from the Jackson County Economic Development Partnership.
Cool.
I was there for that as well. It was announced that this year's theme is Apple Treats on Jackson Streets.
Okay.
Which to me... I feel like somebody maybe from Wellston submitted that winning theme, because at Christmas time, that Christmas event up there is called Christmas Treats on Wellston Streets.
Yeah.
I'd asked the guys who the winner was for this theme, because they usually announce that, and they couldn't tell me. They said they have the paper somewhere. They got to find it. So there's a paper misplaced on who the winning theme was. And then they also announced the Friday evening entertainment, Jen.
Oh.
Friday evening's entertainment.
It was the dirt.
Yes. American country music artist Mark Wills.
Cool.
Do you know Mark Wills?
I think so.
Because I did not. And this is the kind of response that they got when they announced it Friday night. This was the response was, I don't think people realized who it was. So I got home and I asked, because my wife loves country. And I said, who is this? And she's, oh, you know. And then she said the name. His one of his biggest hits to date is gold certified 19 something.
Yeah.
And 1970 something. Yeah. And it was a 6-week number one on the Billboard Hot Country Song charts.
Yeah.
So that is who Friday's big entertainment is going to be at the Apple Festival.
I think sometimes
I'm sure he's got some other.
We forget ones these artists' names, but then you have all these sing along songs.
You hear the song.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah. So if they would have mentioned that, then a lot of people would have realized who it was. But do you have that now, Hayden? So we're going to go ahead and show this video clip right quick, and then I got one more news thing to touch on, and then we'll turn it over to Pete.
I'm Isabella Lunsford, your 2024 Apple Festival Queen. It has meant so much to me to be here tonight, and has been such an exciting experience, and I can't wait for the next year with these two girls.
Hello, everyone. I'm Macy Swan, your first attendant for 2024. This has been an amazing experience. And as she said, I'm so excited to be sharing with these amazing girls, and I can't wait for our new memories.
I'm Alexia Butcher, your 2024 second attendant. I'm incredibly thankful for this opportunity, and I can't wait to make memories with these girls.
But there you go. There's your 2024 cool. Jackson Apple Festival Queen and Court. And all the girls did a great job, and it's always hard, I think, for the judges to go through and pick. But it didn't seem like they were back there very long this year, so they must have had it narrowed down.
They had an idea.
So that's our first royalty contest of the new year, Jen.
Very cool.
So I believe we'll have more coming up here in the coming weeks. I know the Jackson County Fair Royalty Contest, I think, is coming up this upcoming Saturday. And then Wild Turkey Festival Royalty Contest should be coming up here in the next few weeks as well, because, you know, that's always the first weekend there in May. So it's getting busy, June, getting busy.
Wild Turkey Festival is always kind of our first fair and festival. It kicks off the season.
It does. And then later in the month, you have Festival of Flags down in Oak Hill. So real quick, wanted to touch on some news that we had in our, before I move on real quick too, I forgot to mention this on the Apple Festival Queens contest. I was there. We did photos. We have photo galleries for each on our website, thetelegramnews.com. There was live coverage of both contests. You can find those on all of our social media platforms. That's awesome. Find them on the Telegram News. You can find them on Jeremiah Shaver, the Telegram News, Main Street TV's Facebook page, all on Facebook. You can find it on YouTube under Total Media Group. And you can also find it on X, formerly Twitter, under the Telegram News. Big shout out to Dylan Euler for figuring out how to make all that work, because he's got us to where we can now broadcast in all those at the same time.
Cool.
For any kind of news. So they worked good. Everything looked good. We had a lot of people on over the weekend watching. I know at one point Friday night, I had over 200 people watching on my page.
Oh, wow.
And there was another 100 some watching on the Telegram page. So lots of folks watching that maybe live elsewhere or couldn't attend.
Yeah. And that's that's why we do what we do. You know, we want you to go in person if you can.
Yes.
Because that's the best way to see it. But
So we'll have, I've written stories. We'll have coverage on both of those in Wednesday's paper. And when you look in the paper, something new that we started are QR codes. So some stories, you may see a QR code and below it, it says scan to watch. Mm-hmm. If you scan that QR code, it will take you to the video that Quirin's that went along with the story. Okay. So that's something new that we started. We've done it a few times, and we're going to try to remember to do that going forward. Just another way to bring the digital to the print, vice versa. So pretty cool.
Yeah.
So moving on, we're going to talk a little news real quick, and then I'll hand my chair over to Pete. Over the weekend, we had a story in the paper about a longtime downtown Jackson business that had a bright pink slip of paper taped in their window. And I think we have a photo of the business there. And you can see in the window, this is Elizabeth's Flowers and Gifts, the bright piece of paper there. And that paper notified customers on Thursday morning, March 28th, that the location could not sell anything to the public. That public notice was posted by the Ohio Department of Taxation, and it detailed that Elizabeth's Flowers and Gifts, located at 163 Broadway Street in Jackson, had its vendor's license suspended. The notice stated that the business is prohibited from making retail sales, and that means online as well as in-store, at its location. This written public notice actually says on there that it was posted on March 12th, and reposted again on March 28th on the business. The business is owned and operated by Elizabeth Frisbee, and the business offers a variety of products and services, from fresh to silk flowers, gift items, and they also have a complete garden center that they offer for the community. And the business has been there for more than 20 years. And I reached out to the Ohio Department of Taxation to learn a little bit more about when these notices are posted, Jen.
Yeah, remember seeing something like that.
A notice posted?
Yeah.
Yeah, it should have been posted on the window. And the Ohio Department of Taxation, the representative I talked with there, said that those public notices are posted on businesses that have been involved in the Habitual Offender Program. It's also known as HOP. And according to the Ohio Department of Taxation website, all accounts on HOP are monitored to ensure timely filing and payment of sales tax. It says the taxpayer is alerted they have been put on HOP by written notification. Then an intent to suspend letter is issued. If the taxpayer then fails to file or pay timely, they will have 10 days to file and pay any non-certified amounts owed. It says failing to file or pay within the 10 days may result in a suspension of the vendor's license, which, as you can see from that pink notice, it said that the license had been suspended for that business.
So this is for failure to pay state sales tax?
Well, we'll get into that. There's a little, that's okay. There's a little more, there's a little more to it in addition to the pink piece of paper there.
Okay.
Higher vice code, I guess, allows the Department of Taxation to suspend a vendor's license, which means the business cannot make taxable sales. It was explained to me that the two main reasons why this happens is failure to file a tax return for the, I guess, for the business, or failing to pay sales tax for two consecutive months or three times in the course of a 12-month period. So if you fail to file your tax return, or you fail to pay the sales tax two consecutive months or three times in the course of a 12-month period, then I guess you get this suspension. But I guess they give you a couple, as I read before, you get a little time to try to correct it. But then if you don't, then you get the pink piece of paper. And they, the department also told me that retail sales are prohibited at the business until the tax obligations are paid in full. If or when those payments are made, the suspension is lifted and the business is free to do business again. And they also told me that more than half the time when a suspension occurs, a criminal complaint could be filed in the local court system. In this case, a criminal complaint has been filed in the local court, in the Jackson County Municipal Court, against Elizabeth Frisbee, 53 of Wellston. It says she is facing two criminal complaints that are related to this matter. The complaints, the complaints were filed by Agent Zachary Toyaz, I think is how you say the last name, and he's with the Ohio Department of Taxation. The first case was filed on Tuesday, March 12th, and that complaint says that Lisby failed to file a sales tax return, and it says, according to the Ohio Revised Code, no person, including, and it goes into, you know, business, etc., should fail to, you know, report their taxes, basically. And then the second case that was filed in the Muni Court was filed on Thursday, March 28th, the same day that the piece of paper was reposted. That complaint says that Frisbee unlawfully covered or removed the public notice suspension sign from her door or window. And it says right on the piece of paper that the Ohio Revised Code, no person other than the tax commissioner or commissioner's agent or employee shall remove, cover, or deface that public notice. So she must have removed it and covered it up or whatever. And the court docket shows that Jackson County Municipal Court Judge Mark Music has recused himself from hearing the case. So the Ohio Supreme Court has appointed the Honorable David B. I don't know how you say the last name. Maybe you can help me here.
I would say Tyak.
Tyak. So Tyak is hearing the case. And I spoke to Jackson County Municipal Court Clerk Derek Cowles. And he told me that Frisbee did appear before the judge on Thursday morning, March 28th, and they continued the arraignments for both of those cases to May 1st at 1:30 p.m. And, you know, we did our diligence and reached out to Ms. Frisbee about all this. And I quote, this is what she told me Thursday afternoon. She said, I got slapped with some penalties. It'll be taken care of in the next few days and all will be fine. So,
okay.
And that kind of gives you a breakdown of that. And, we will obviously follow up on this. We will watch the court system to see what happens. And, if, you know, those cases end up getting dismissed because she takes care of her tax matters, then we will obviously report that. So,
all right,
I'm gonna turn my chair over because I've talked way too long, and Pete is probably upset that I talked 41 minutes. Jen, how about that?
Oh my gosh, no way.
I'm just full of it this morning. So I'm gonna give my chair to Mr. Wilson, And everybody stay tuned to telegramnews.com today. If and when severe weather strikes, we will have something up. If we do have severe weather pass through the area, I'm sure we'll probably be out doing some kind of weather coverage on any damage.
Oh, please be the person with the like the microphone with the hair blowing. And
well, there's no hair to blow, but I'll get blown down or something.
Well, I'll come out there and do it with you.
Okay.
Have curls going everywhere.
Very good.
It'll be fun.
Everybody have a good day. Be safe.
Thanks, Jeremiah. I appreciate you. Well, hello there, Mr. Wilson.
Hello there. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I want to start out, people who have listened to the show so far, let's salute Jeremiah Shaver for his versatility.
That's right.
I mean, this is what small town newspapers and radio and TV are all about.
You're not kidding.
You have to cover everything. We had that certainly heavy criminal situation, sales tax situation with a local businesswoman.
Yep.
We had Apple Festival Queen contest over the weekend, and now we're looking out the window to see if tornadoes are coming.
I know. It's like all over the place.
So, you know, one of the things they told us when we went into journalism school was it's good to specialize. You don't do that at a small place. You have to be ready to do about anything. And so I salute Jeremiah for his versatility and for being able to get all that. Much, much appreciated. And so we'll always, try to get all the news in the paper, try to get it online as quickly as we can, share it on social media as well to keep you as informed as possible. We always will do our best to get the news, to look for it, but we always want to get tips as well, you know, because we're not omniscient, we're not up there, and we don't see everything. We've got to learn it somehow, and that's where, you know, the public can come in. It's like the police saying, it helps to have 1,000 eyes out there, and it's not theirs.
That's true.
All right, but anyway, we're going to hit some other highlights there in the time we have left. You know, we talked about the Apple Festival. Well, our first festival, local festival, is the Wild Turkey Festival in Benton County.
I hate it.
And
please find out where Dylan went with my mug because I'm dying. Thank you.
Oh my. Okay. Well, we'll try to do the lifting over here, Jen, the best we can. Your allergies are working on you.
I don't know. My throat's super.
Oh my. Well, anyway, Hayden anticipated this.
Yes, he did.
And I don't know how he did that because I hadn't said it yet. But that is Jeannie Willis that you see up there on the screen. And a lot of folks know Jeannie in both of our local counties, Jackson and Vinton counties. But Jeannie has been named the Grand Marshal for the 2024 Vinton County Wild Turkey Festival.
Cool.
And of course, she and her late husband, Bud, opened a convenience store right there in the heart of MacArthur, across from the courthouse. And very popular store. And they have been very supportive of the community and of the Turkey Festival. And so she is being honored. Red Thompson Jr. Was up there and took that picture that same night that she was named. And you can see she's happy about it. And, of course, a lot of folks know her down here in Jackson as well because, they had convenience stores down here. Was known as Bud's One Stop down here as well, too. It's different ownership now, but she is known certainly in both counties. And Bill Beckley, who is the president of the Wild Turkey Festival, he simply said that both personally and professionally, through the business and through herself, Jeannie has been a great supporter of the festival, and this is the way the committee wanted to say thanks. So,
awesome.
So congratulations to Jeannie Willis. And while we're on the Queen front, this is going to be a big weekend for the Jackson County Fair because all of the pre-contests for the 2024 Jackson County Fair will take place this weekend. They used to do that in June, and the last couple years it's been in April. They've moved it up in April this particular year, at least, to the first weekend in April, full weekend in April. And so it's going to be this Saturday at the Park's Edge Event Center, which, of course, is the largest venue that you can have.
Yeah.
But there will be contests not only for the 2024 Jackson County Fair Queen, but also for the grade level attendance. And the way they're going to do it, the Little Mister and Little Miss contest will be at 4 p.m. Then there'll be the individual contest for the grade levels, grades 3 through 8. There's more than one level there, but all the way from 3 through 8 will be at 5 p.m. Grades 9 and 10, which is next to the so-called big girls, will be at 6:30 p.m. And then right after that will be the Queen's contest for the so-called senior girls. And so all that, Angie Isinago does a great job with that. She's a member of the Fair Board, also takes care of all the Queen stuff. All that will take place on Saturday afternoon and evening at Park's Edge Event Center. $5 ticket will get you in for, you know, the whole shebang. And in our paper, in addition to covering the Apple Festival and Little Apple Festival Queens contest, we also have all the profiles of all the girls and boys, girls, because we don't have Little Miss and Little Mister names because they register that differently. But all the grade level attendant candidates and the queen candidates for Fair Queen, we got their pictures in the paper in color.
Very cool.
You want to check in tomorrow's paper and check online on the telegramnews.com for those profiles as well. We know that high school football is a big deal around here. And so we do want to tell you that behind the scenes, the decision makers in Vinton County, that would include certainly athletic director and Jay Kite, are working on hiring a new football coach. Remember, not all that long ago, TJ Carper, who had done a great job in his 3 years at Vinton County, took a job at Zanesville High School, bigger school. So, you know, he earned that opportunity. So we have to replace TJ Carper in Vinton County. At the last school board meeting, where Red Thompson Jr. always dutifully attends, Rick Brooks, the superintendent, reported that there are 14 candidates for a football coach. I know that they don't want to rush it, but I know that they'll want to hire somebody as quickly as possible because, you know, there is off-season conditioning and the new coach will want to get, you know, his staff and all like that. So we can probably expect something happening pretty quickly on that. Okay. Also, we want to mention that we want to salute our friends at Holzer Health System. They're good friends of Total Media.
Of course.
And they had a pretty big honor within their system. This will be in our, this was in our paper on Saturday, by the way. Their cardiology team was named among the nation's best. This was a great honor. This isn't them saying it. This is Health Grades Coronary Intervention Excellence Award from Health Grades. That is a national organization that evaluates hospitals and parts of hospitals, components
awesome.
And like that. And this is where the Holzer Cardiology Group rated very high. They won an excellence award. As a matter of fact, how excellent. If you win this award, you are considered among the best hospitals in that area. Recipient hospitals represent the top 2% of hospitals in that specialty area, it being cardiology for Holzer. So congratulations to them. A lot of times you think, you know, when you're from a smaller area, rural area, small towns or whatever, you can't compete with the big
boys.
That's right. But, you know, when we do, it needs to be acknowledged. So congratulations to Holzer Health System. Work is continuing, Jennifer, on the South Street Waterline Project in Jackson.
Okay.
That was a picture that I took last Thursday. And you can, people who travel up and down South Street may recognize that that is just east of the High Street intersection, almost all the way to the Bennett Avenue intersection, the next block. They are digging in the street along the curb, putting the water line in, sometimes having to dig across the street where there's laterals and so forth. Little bumpy in there, for sure. All that will be fixed at the end. But right now, as of yesterday, they were all the way down almost in front of Cardo's, which is at Portsmouth and South Street. And they're going to go, before it's all through, all the way to East Main Street, all the way to the end of the street. So, you know, we'll continue to watch that. Sometimes the street is completely closed when they're working because they got the heavy equipment there, but they try to keep one lane open, and it's always open in the evenings and on the weekends.
Well, good news is we can kind of just go around the block if you have to.
Right, yeah, you can do that. You can do that. It's not hard to get around that. Of course, a lot of people live on South Street and use it to go back and forth. So
yeah,
it's going to be a little bumpy for a while and dusty maybe a little bit. Okay, another big highway thing away from town, but still a big deal. The Mulga Road Bridge Replacement Project is complete. There, that picture comes from the Jackson County Engineer's Office. That is the beautiful new bridge on Mulga Road. It is just off State Route 32. If you go on State Route 32 and you make a turn to the left, which would be west towards Wellston.
Okay. Okay.
It is just off the highway, 32 there, between Bierup Road and Hollingshead Road. And it closed on February the 19th with the idea that it would be 2 months. Well, it's a little less than 2 months, and that bridge is open. So a lot of people who cut across the highway to Wellston or come from Wellston to hit the highway, now you can do it. Because they opened the road, in the evenings, and they had a little way around the bridge there. But sometimes you could not get through at all. And now, it's all done.
Okay.
All right. We also want to acknowledge that we had some great Easter egg hunts over the weekend. We had Easter egg hunts really in about all of our local towns. I went to one in Wellston. This is one, I believe, looking at that.
That's Manpower.
That's Manpower Park. The Jackson Area Kiwanis Club did that one. Alex Shope was there. He said there was a lot of folks there. The Liberty Baptist Church did one down in Oak Hill on the grounds of the village building there. That was a big deal as well. That was one that got postponed from last week, and they had it on Saturday. That's a picture that I took at the Sons of the American Legion one in Wellston. And I tell you what, I've covered that now 2 or 3 years in a row, and I'm sure all those Easter egg hunts are about the same. The smiles from the parents and the kids when they're collecting, the eggs are just something.
This is fun.
This is just representative of it right there. That is little Jocelyn Arthur and her father, Roderick Arthur. She is only 3 years old, and she was so happy. She filled up her basket, and earlier she got to meet the Easter Bunny. The Easter Bunny was actually there in costume and everything. Somehow the Sons of the American Legion got him there. 12,000 eggs in Wellston, 12,000 candy-filled eggs. I don't know how many the Kiwanis had. I don't know how many Liberty Baptists had. The Nazarene had a big egg hunt at their church in Jackson on Saturday as well. We've got pictures from all those places, by the way. We don't have pictures from the Compel Ministry egg hunt in Wellston, but they had a big one on Friday. So these egg hunts just don't happen. These organizations have to do a lot of work to make it happen, and then you've got community sponsors. So we're going to have some pictures from that in our next two papers of these egg hunts. All right. Let's see what else. We're running out of time, but we want to tell you ahead of time. We want to hype the Humane Society yard sale that's coming up on Saturday. I know that Diana Morris and Janice Brumfield were here to talk about some of the things, including the event on the 20th. The 20th characters. I forget who they are.
Yeah, that's the Pause for a Cause event.
Right. That is going to be a big one for them. But
April 20th.
But before Super that, they're doing a yard sale. They always do one. That's going to be at the FOP Lodge on Wood Avenue in Jackson. This is a two-part thing on how you can help. First of all, you can go to the yard sale. It's going to be from 9 a.m. till 2 p.m. at the Jackson FOP building. And, of course, I probably shouldn't say this. The start time, it's always really earlier than that. You know that. You know how people are with yard sales. But it's 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in print. But you can participate and help another way by donating items. You just have to make sure that they're dropped off there at the FOP Lodge at 2 p.m. on Friday. And I know that they probably already gathered some things, but the public is welcome. You're looking to get some things get rid of. But you don't want to do a yard sale yourself. That's a good way to help out.
And help a good cause.
Right. Also, on the sports side, we want to tell you that we've had a couple of no-hitters already in baseball and softball. Up at Vinton County, Jordan Zinn threw a no-hitter last Thursday against Warren Local. They beat Warren Local. The Lady Vikings did 3-0. And Jordan, by the way, is the younger sister of Cameron Zinn. Remember when she came through Vinton County, a wonderful athlete there? Well, Jordan had her day in the sun, threw a no-hitter. Red Thompson happened to be there. There is Jordan in the pitching circle, throwing that green ball that they use now at the high school level. And I guarantee you the Warren hitter did not get a hit there because there was no hits the entire game. Vinton County won 3-0, so congratulations to Jordan. Awesome. Also, last night... last night. We actually got a game in. The Oak Hill Oaks baseball team played at Pike Eastern, and Jesse Zachariah threw a no-no. That's kind of like the slang word for a no-hitter. He threw a no-hitter to help the Oaks defeat Eastern by a score of 10-0. Jesse didn't give up a single hit in that game, and Oak Hill scored enough runs in five innings to end the game with the five, what they call the five inning mercy rule.
I wish I had known that. He came in to see us last night after the game.
Jesse did?
Yeah, I wish I had.
Okay, well, you should have given him a free onion burger.
Oh, a free onion burger for everybody.
That's right. Okay, and we want to tell you that because of the weather, and you know, Jeremiah Shaver explained all that, we've had some games canceled or postponed as well. Last night's Jackson-Miami Trace game in both baseball and softball was called off. Now, you know, the weather didn't turn out to be real bad last night, but it did rain a lot over the weekend. I don't know whether that had a whole lot to do with it. But last night, in anticipation of the weather we're going to get, I'd never seen it before, they postponed games more than 24 hours ahead of time.
Yeah.
So the Jackson-Miami Trace baseball game, which means I would have had a red shirt on, is not going to be played tonight. They already have a makeup date for that. It is Tuesday, May the 7th.
Okay.
So our first baseball game, which is going to be, you know, on the radio, WKOV 96.7 FM, and video stream, thanks to our man Dylan and others that are going to make that happen, is going to be Saturday. We're going to double-check the time, but right now it's scheduled for 11 a.m. There'll be a triple-header that day with three different teams. We will do the very first game, and unless they change it on us, it should be 11 a.m., Jackson playing. I'm not even sure which team it is because there's two other teams coming in, but we always do that first game of the doubleheader.
Awesome.
So be looking for that. And also, of course, the Basketball Mania contest, which is our version of March Madness. We have 307 people that are going for that $600 prize package.
Nice.
In tomorrow's paper, we'll have the big bracket out there on a double truck, which is two pages side by side. It will have the standings in there. And it was pretty tight when we checked last Wednesday. And, of course, there's been games played since then. But number one, the top finisher will get $300. Number two, $200. And number three, $100. 307 people, put themselves on the line on that.
That's awesome.
So those standings will be in the paper tomorrow in the B section. And it will be also online as well. And in this case, you go to yourtotalmedia.com/basketballmania.
Love that.
So there we are.
Well, look at you, Pete. Right on time.
We made it.
We did. Sounds like the rain has found us.
Okay, well.
If you can hear.
Right, and we'll have to do the tornado drill. We didn't do the tornado drill threat. We did everything but that.
So we were discussing off the air this morning, all of us old timers, that I don't know if the kids still have to do this or not. I don't know. Hayden, do you still have to do this? Do you have to do tornado drills?
Yeah.
What do they make you do? Oh, so you still have to do that?
Do you do a fire drill too?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we always used to do fire drills back in the dinosaur days. We never remembered tornadoes.
I just remember them being like, wasn't there?
I think
one
we just got underneath our desk.
What was the one where you had to climb under your desk? That was probably nuclear war or something back then.
Yeah, in the 50s, maybe.
Yeah.
The Cold War.
So, the what?
It's like a threat drill, basically.
Oh, I don't know. I just remember having the tornado drill. You had to get like in a door frame or something, or in the hallway or whatever.
Right.
Whatever.
Right. Yeah. You can read the manual or just watch Twister.
There you go.
Right.
Either way.
Right. These youngsters should watch Twister.
There you go.
All right.
Well, have a wonderful day, everyone. Be weather aware, if you will. And don't cross any running water, standing water, because it will take you out.
We do have, I'm sure Jeremiah said this, but if he didn't, we'll reinforce it. There is a flood watch as well as, you know, the severe weather that they say is coming our way.
That's right. So have a great day, everyone. Be safe out there, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow.
This just in.
The Telegram News has a new website.
TheTelegramNews.com.
Same dedicated coverage.
Same trustworthy news with a brand new look.
Covering Jackson and Benton County and surrounding areas.
Locally owned and operated, TheTelegramNews.com has its finger on the pulse of the community.
Stay up to date on local events, high school sports, and breaking news.
TheTelegramNews.com.
Subscribe today at TheTelegramNews.com.
Check it out.